You're listening to Dotto Tech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Hello and welcome to Dotto Tech. I am Steve Dotto and we are glad you are joining us today, sitting in the snowy studios here in Richmond. How are you doing, Art?
Cold.
You like winter?
No. I think Christmas or holidays and winter should only come, snow, should only come right before Christmas, and then after Christmas, done.
Well, your peeps in the Philippines don't experience a lot of snow, I'm thinking.
No, lots of rain.
Yeah, lots of rain, not so up on the snow. Lots of news in the technology front. Of course, last week was the big computer show, the big consumer electronics show, CES, which is going to be our main topic today.
We got comic book stores must have been empty around the city.
I don't think comic guys that go to comic book stores can afford to go to CES.
Oh.
They jack up the rates at the hotel room so much that if you aren't like rich or you have a company paying for you to go, you can't go. So unemployed people, don't go to CES.
Hmm.
We're going to be talking about CES with Lindsay Smith and Layla Pageman, who were down there at the show. They're going to be giving us their report.
Also, ladies go to this thing?
It's changed so much since the days I used to go.
Are they, what is it, Chris and Max Station called the beautiful ladies at these kind of events like unicorns?
Unicorns, because they were just imaginary creatures that never appear, but they were there. We got two of them.
Wow.
Do you want to let us get on with the rest? We've got another woman on the show, too.
I'm excited.
Carly Biggert, who's the National Account Manager for Motorola Mobility, is going to be on the show. She's going to be talking to us, and they're giving us a phone to give away. We've got a giveaway. We've got great giveaways on the show. We've got two giveaways this
week. I'm happy with my phone. I'm not going to try and win this one.
And we've also got Nick Kyriakides from NetTalk on to talk about some voice over IP applications. But I wanted to quickly hit the news before we get to the ladies.
Okay.
A couple of news figures. A big day tomorrow. We're not sure what Apple's going to be talking about in a big press conference they're planning tomorrow, but the rumor is that they're going to be launching a new application for building e-books, e-textbooks, and they're calling it GarageBand for textbooks and e-books.
Hmm.
So it should be an interesting announcement. The first big Apple announcement since the shadow of Steve Jobs passing, because the last big announcement was just days before Steve passed away. So this is the first one kind of since we've moved on from the Steve Jobs era at Apple.
Is this going to worry librarians?
No, it'll be a... That's a good question. I don't know if it's going to worry librarians. There's definitely going to be a shift away from paper books for a lot of things like textbooks and stuff like that. So I guess librarians need not be concerned because they still have to be curators of the knowledge,
right.
And that is what librarians really are. Rather than the physical books, it's all about the knowledge. So librarians will still have a job. But the most interesting story, and this is one that we missed last week, I didn't have a chance to talk about, is Symantec has a class action lawsuit being launched against it because they are alleged to be, their software is alleged to inaccurately create concern amongst consumers with warnings, viruses and malware being found on your computer that really aren't, which are really benign, in order to propagate the use of antivirus software. Now, some people have long thought that this could be the case. The Symantec is actually going to have to defend itself now against these charges. So that's something that's going to be really interesting and something for us to watch very closely. Pretty fascinating.
Absolutely.
We'll keep our eye on that. Now let's get to the good stuff. Let's get to CES. And joining us, our first time, we have a first time visitor on the show. It's Layla Pageman. Layla, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
And you're just a technology fan. You were down at CES to just understand everything that's going on.
I've always wanted to go, and I didn't go last year, and so this was the year where it kind of happened very much last minute. So yeah, I did pop the cherry for the first time at CES. And hello. Yes, and women, by the way, do attend CES.
Not very many, though.
Not very many, but there are a lot of women.
Did you stand out? And Lindsay Smith is also joining us. Lindsay, was the reason that you went last minute, I think, because she provided you with accommodation.
Yeah, it did help. Yes.
Well, because the costs of CES.
The room prices were absolutely atrocious.
Like, it'd be $300 a week, a night during CES, and then the very next week you can get the same room for $60. Used to drive me crazy during Comdex and that sort of stuff. But
it's because not enough nerds gamble, so they can't offset the cost.
Well, this has always been the problem with these big consumer shows in Vegas, is they complain that they don't make enough money because they don't gamble. They're too smart or too shy. I don't know what it was.
least we were so busy. I don't think we. I like to gamble once in a while, but I didn't have very much time to.
It's
sit
an
at
exhaust-
the table. It's exhausting.
The show is well. I haven't been to CES in several years, but it's an exhausting. It's almost like running a marathon. You have to cover so much square footage. Your senses are bombarded by so many different things going on at CES, and you're trying to understand what's real, what's valuable, what's just going to be hype. It's just a real trial.
Well, and you got to think too that it takes up, it fills up the entire Las Vegas Convention Center. It takes up the Hilton next door. You have people at the Renaissance next door. You've got the entire Venetian filled up with CES as well as a few other hotels. Mm-hmm. There's so many different locations that you need to physically get to in order to cover it all that it's completely overwhelming. I mean, I think it was over 3,000 exhibitors this year and 140,000 attendees.
And as you debrief, as you two were talking just before, you were both talking about a very similar technology displayed by two different vendors, of which you didn't even know that the other one was showcasing it. So you cannot cover everything by yourself.
I think we were there. We were there for 4 days, and we probably covered about 10% of what there was to see.
Mm, but it was fun.
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah,
absolutely amazing.
I just wish it wasn't in Vegas because I can't stand the smoke.
It wasn't that bad. I have to say, I'm pretty sensitive to cigarette smoke as well. And it was pretty good, except for when you were walking through the casinos. But
when you're in your hotel, yeah.
Yeah, when you're in the hotel. But in the convention center itself.
They don't let people smoke in the convention center, I guess.
Not
they?
At all.
Oh, that's
no.
good. Well, yeah. Good. Well, good on them for that much. What we're going to do is we're going to get back with you guys. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to return. Let's get into the top stories. You got a whole assortment of them. You got your MacBook Airs and your iPads out ready to fill us all in on the highlights of CES. Something that you're definitely going to want to stick around for. I'm Steve Dotto, and you're tuned in to Dotto Tech.
Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dotto Tech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Layla Pageman and Lindsay Smith are here. They were just in Vegas at Comdex, and now...
CES. Consumer Electronics Show.
You know, it's my age. It's my age. I will say Comdex at least twice more in this show. Actually, I should have one of these electric shock things that you can shock me with every time I do it.
I think the first time I met you, Steve, was at a Comdex event back
really?
In like 02 or 03 or something like
down
that.
Down in Vegas?
Yeah, you were speaking. It wasn't at Vegas. I don't know where it was.
I was speaking?
There, you were speaking.
Yeah.
And there
those
was,
were the
there
days.
Was, yeah.
Those were the days. I wonder what I was speaking about. Did I say anything intelligent?
You sounded very intelligent. Always. Always, Steve.
You don't have to suck up to me early on the show. Okay, so let's get into highlights. So, Lindsay, what was the theme that you were looking for? Was there something that you were looking for at the show, or what?
I don't think I went down with any huge expectations. There's that cliche that the TVs get bigger, they get smaller, they get better resolution.
And they get, quote-unquote, smarter.
And they get smarter. Yes, yes, Layla is jumping to the next thing. Absolutely. So, and I think we definitely saw a little bit of that. I was kind of intrigued when I saw that the thinnest TV now is 3/16 of an inch thick. It was the LG one, and that was an OLED, so an optical light-emitting diode television. So it was
so a lot less heat, a lot less power consumed by these, and then they can be and a lot lighter, so it could be hung
a
on.
A lot lighter, and as well, they actually had a 3D built-in. Most of the TVs now all have 3D built-in. So
yeah.
And then truer blacks as well, so that's kind of compared to other LEDs. Still, I don't know if they're as true blacks as the plasmas produce, but... still pretty good.
Okay, and so there was 3D. Now, 3D has been a theme. Let's start with that then. It's been a theme of the last few Comdexes. 3D's coming, 3D's coming. And was this the Comdex that said 3D's here, but it's not a big deal?
It's CES, Steve, but yes, yes, yes. Anyway, yes, moving along. So it was still, I think what's happening now is the companies aren't making the 3D as forefront in terms of their marketing message. They're just building it in as an additional feature. There's glassless, how do you want to say it? Layla, what would glassless 3D TV where you don't
wear
glasses?
Oh, you're not wearing glassesless. Glassesless.
Yeah, glassesless. There was a theme on that one. And
even prettier glasses to be offered.
Yeah, prettier glasses to be offered. I think with the 3D TVs that don't have glasses, they're not quite there yet. So don't everyone rush out and get excited about buying a television where you don't have to wear the glasses, to be honest. Brutally honest, it's just not there. You have to be in such a specific position to see it.
That's not worth it. Yeah. Our good friends at London Drugs say that if you're buying a new TV, buy 3D regardless, because they're the best TVs and they have a small premium, but they're the best quality, even for 2D.
I think so. And if you have a problem with the glasses, like Layla was saying, like you had the chance to go and check out some of the different styles.
I mean, they were. It's all pretty, and you look good, and I guess that's the key issue is whether or not people can actually sustain sitting down for a couple hours, and how many of these glasses they can have available for, you know, their family members, too. So,
and also and how much content and is how available, much how many TVs, exactly. You know, how many Piranha movies are there going to be?
So, like Lindsay was saying, it's just not going to be the forefront. I mean, last year was the biggest, 3D was the biggest thing, and then they realized that people aren't really buying it, nor there's not enough content to be used, nor do people actually want to wear the glasses. So, I mean, I thought the chicer and cooler looking quote unquote glasses were pretty good. They were pretty cool, but other than that, it's not enticing. It's still not. I've been a critic of 3D television from the get go, so I'm not going to jump on that bandwagon. I can tell you that.
Well, I'm trying to think. You know, going to movies now, I'm trying to think if I even notice if they're available in 3D, and I take a pass. I don't even think I bother going to the movie in 3D if it's there.
Interesting. Yeah. See, I love it. I love the 3D. I fully buy into the immersive experience, and I think that I get so much more out of the movie. Like, you feel like you're inside of it. And true, we don't have enough content in order to sustain that, but I don't think we want to watch all of our content. Like you guys said, it can be too much sometimes. So I think that it's kind of that nice piece of chocolate cake that you can have every once in a while.
So the consumer side is definitely up for the forefront with the TVs, but let's get into the kind of the computer side and the other technology side. Was there Microsoft gave the keynote from all accounts Steve Ballmer was less than and inspiring in his thing, and he had Ryan Seacrest as host. Did you go to the keynote?
I didn't go, but one of our fellow bloggers was down there, and she went, and she didn't get a lot out of it. Her feedback was that it was really just about. I mean, the whole name of the speech even was farewell to CES. Like, way to start it off, Microsoft, just being so freaking negative. I'm like, it should have been more about. See, going to CES is about the future of technology. It's not about the goodbye of technology. Yeah. It's like, are you saying goodbye, Windows? Like, you're not. Not going to Microsoft. You're just not going to be there. I don't know where they wanted to go with that, but I thought
it was
pretty
lame.
Well,
the whole idea is Microsoft isn't getting the bang that they want out of. The bottom line is these trade shows, although they can still be spectacular, they aren't as necessary because everybody's getting all of the information online for the most part. So
there's a lot of business that's done down there, though, and I think that there's 140,000 people that go representing companies or having some sort of, they're buyers of technology. We went down as press and media. We're sitting there scoping out the next stories for technology. I really think that they're underestimating. I think they're doing a poor job at actually measuring what that show does, and I think if it went away, there'd be a lot of, I think they'd see a huge impact, and I'm really surprised that Microsoft is pulling out.
Well, Apple's pulled back from Macworld, so the Macworlds have become almost, you know, just a shadow of themselves. So I guess, you know, certainly next year will be an interesting show to see that. So let's talk about some of the other booths and some of the other things. Lindsay, you were mentioning Intel was a booth that you thought was just outstanding.
Yeah, Intel, well, of course, they're coming out with innovative technologies that we're going to see 2-3 years down the road. But one of the things that stood out to me was their technology that allows you to purchase products from your tablet as your television show or your movie is being played. So they're working with a few other partners so that as you're watching the video, there's content automatically being streamed to your tablet that shows you what the characters are wearing or what specific product they're buying. It's kind of making content more consumer based, but at the same time, it's very interesting to see that we're headed in that direction.
Well, that's interesting because one of the things that the product placement within shows has been one of these holy grails for marketing firms. You know, what is the star wearing and what dishes are they using, and you know, so that people can say, I like that pattern. Is that so? And then being able to click on it. But when you're dealing with a single screen, it was invasive to think that we'd have a sidebar or something where we can, you know, kind of control it, and it would interrupt the viewing for the entire group that's watching for one person to be interested in something. But you're saying that now they're diverting that interaction to your tablet.
Mm-hmm.
That's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about it, Layla? Would you watch TV and buy off your tablet?
You know, again, I'm also a skeptic of smart TV, but I think it's the, I think it's just too much information giving, too much of my personal information being provided. Like, it's just like Google circles and how I have to analyze each person and how, which circle I should put them into. I just think it's just too much work. I just want to watch a TV show.
Well, that's, and that's, and that like, is.
I know exactly what I want to watch and that's what I want to watch.
That's part of the holy grail of interactive TV is do people, is television watching a decompression time or is it a time when we can engage? If you think about, I think when I think about interactive TV, I think about what's going to happen, and I think the leading edge is going to be sports. I don't think it's going to be retail, to be honest. I don't think anybody's going to buy, you know, that interactive TV is going to explode because now I can buy the tie that Ryan Seacrest is wearing when he's interviewing, you know, when he's on the show. So I don't think that's, however, being engaged in a social event like a sporting event where you can be commenting on your team, where you can be cheering, where you, you know, you can be basically interacting the same way as you would maybe in the arena. Mm-hmm. That to me is something that could kind of be the leading edge that makes interactive TV viable. I agree with Layla. I think that the, when I'm watching TV, I want to disengage. I want you to entertain me. I don't want to do the work anymore.
Well, and I was watching a part of Samsung's press conference, and they were introducing the smart TV, and it has, you know, it's all fancy and high tech with like facial recognition, and it can just immediately open up to a screen of all your preference. And they kept on going through how, you know, smart TV integrates the internet because everyone likes to view their you know, video on the internet, and they bring it to the television. And the whole, they thought it was so amazing to toggle from one movie, and then you go, hey, I want to see what the sports scores are. Let's toggle to the app. And I just thought that was kind of like, well, okay, sounds cool. That's great. I can toggle from one, but that's why I have a tablet. That's why my iPhone. It's all in front of me anyways. It's not like I'm going to put it away.
And who doesn't watch TV now without their tablet or their iPhone sitting right beside them where they can do all of the offline stuff? So the group is watching TV, but you're not interrupting the TV show or whatever you're watching for your own personal perusal. You're looking up the ancillary information on, you know, yourself on your own. We're multitasking,
and that's
that way.
Why I think the technology that Intel is building will enable us to do that, to choose between. So we look at the TV as being that app interface now, much the way we see it on a smartphone, but the Intel underlying technology is going to allow us to choose multiple screens in order to push that to, whether it's a smartphone, whether it's a tablet, or whether it's the television or our PC in a kitchen. Who knows?
We're going to take a quick break. When we return, we're going to talk more about the Intel booth. I want to hear about this virtual merchandising system where you can kind of put yourself in the clothes without trying them on and things like that. That's going to be fascinating. I've got Lindsay Smith. I've got Lila Pageman on. I'm Steve Dotto, and you're tuned in to Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Do you have a comment or question for Dotto Tech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dotto Tech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
We're sitting down with Lindsay Smith and Layla Pageman. I said it right. I was saying Lila earlier. I apologize to you. I was also saying CES instead, Comdex instead of CES. Okay, what celebrities did you see?
Well, I was about 20 feet away from the Bieber, Justin Bieber.
Good.
That was very exciting. He was launching the Toyus, I think it was called Toyus dancing robot speaker thing. It was kind of lame. He didn't really do a lot.
He got paid a lot for it, though.
I'm sure he got paid a lot. He was literally out on the floor for about five minutes.
Literally?
Literally for 5 minutes.
Layla?
I saw 50 Cent. I saw him twice, actually.
So you saw a buck?
I saw half a buck. I saw he was doing an interview with TechCrunch, and I was like literally right next to the stage. And then I actually went to his booth the next day, SMS Audio. So he was promoting headsets, kind of following the Dr. Dre path, because it's a good moneymaker.
Beats, yeah.
Exactly. Beats by Dr. Dre. And I basically was trying on his headsets in his booth, and I was taking pictures. And then I put down my camera, and I look up, and he walks right by me. And I was like, ooh.
Did you see Layla?
He called my name. He's like, hey, Lepej, that's
Lepej.
Right. That's you.
There you go. It's you.
No, I was actually a bit starstruck. I was never a fan of him, but after I saw him speak and talk about technology, I all of a sudden want to download his CD. I'll admit it. I'm actually I'm charmed by 50 Cent right now.
You're charmed by 50 Cent.
Yeah, charmed.
Okay. And Ashton Kutcher, was he there?
No, now that would have charmed me.
Yeah, because his Twitter account got hacked.
He had a big
problem with somebody hacking his Twitter account and then putting out fake posts about him and his new girlfriend.
Oh dear.
He's upset and he's on the warpath. And I imagine, you know, because he's the ultimate prankster, he's going to get whoever did it.
Yeah, probably.
And it was probably somebody he knows that did it.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm sure. It's probably Demi.
I don't know if Demi is quite that.
No,
I don't.
Not that one.
And I don't.
I also saw Rick Fox there too.
Okay. Who's Rick Fox?
He's the basketball guy. Yeah, he went on Dancing with
the Stars. Canadian.
With his
girlfriend. He was Canadian. He played for the LA Lakers for quite a few years.
Also walked right by me.
Yeah, he'd be tall.
Very tall.
And as an NBA player goes, he wasn't that tall, but as a human being goes, very tall.
So he was like my height.
No, he was even taller than you, Lindsay. Yes. Okay, let's get into some more of the technology. Layla, you got excited about clothes shopping apps.
Well, because I'm interested in e-commerce and augmented reality apps to help you kind of enhance your clothes shopping experience online. Only clothes, because, you know, you can buy the books, you can buy the movies, you can buy anything else but clothes. And that's why all these businesses are closing shop and everything's moving online.
So let's talk about what augmented reality is, because you just thrown out a term.
I did.
What do they mean?
I apologize. Yeah. So essentially, you know, it's kind of like to mimic the real world, but you're doing it all through all virtually.
Okay.
So like some of the apps, and I would wish I can name one because I forgot right now, but it basically uses the camera on your laptop, and it's able to kind of like over top of your body show up an image of the actual shirt
it'll
that you want.
It'll
shirt. Map over top.
So I've played with that technology a little bit. The people at Clearly Contacts, a Canadian-based company, mm-hmm. if you're purchasing glasses online, if you take a picture of your face and then you can try on the frames and it'll place the different frames on so you can see what you're going to look like with the different frames. That's what we're talking about, augmented reality. But now it's expanding into clothing.
Exactly. There's some augmented reality app that does it, but it doesn't do justice because it's just a picture of a shirt or a dress just over top of your body. The one that I saw at CES, which is by Body Metrics, it does a 3D body mapping scan.
Because it's how it's going to wrap on my body, because my body isn't as good. You know,
but
just a shirt
areas
hanging on
the
a shirt on a hanger looks good, and if you put a shirt on a hanger in front of me, it looks good. It's just color draping at that point. But seeing how it works around my lumps and my bumps, that's what's important.
Exactly, and what it does, so it scans your body and it scans the clothing, and then you have it like draped over top of you, and it shows you like it has like red marks as to where it's going to be tight for you, and then you go to the next.
Really?
Seriously,
ooh,
so you get red marks on your lumps and your bumps, Steve.
Ooh, ick. How does it scan your body? Do you have to be naked?
No, you could. Well, the models that were up there, they were wearing like, you know, a Lululemon type outfits where it's like, you know, tight yoga wear. But they didn't say you had to be naked. But it does do you have to wear something well fit enough, not a baggy shirt.
Yes, okay.
Because that would just skew your image.
But you know, but augmented reality for moo-moos might be okay. Homer Simpson and his moo-moo just with the draping. Okay, go ahead.
So
it got a good picture of their body. Did you see any, was there any regular people doing it, regular folk?
No, I didn't see anyone sampling it themselves. It was just the models that were using it, and they were walking through it. But the problem with this technology is the business model around it. It's like, who's going to pay for it? Is it the consumer who's going to buy it, go shopping? Should they buy that service like every month, like a monthly subscription to it? Or is it the actual company that's selling the clothes?
So do I have to go into a booth and be modeled? Like, how do they scan my body?
Well, it's ideally it's supposed to be through your camera. But I think now...
You could just enter your measurements. If they were doing this all online, you would basically measure yourself, plug that into the database, and then that works. Because all it needs is to map the data coordinates.
Okay.
That just sounded really nerdy, didn't it? Let's map our data coordinates.
Would both of you ladies, would you do that?
I like the... I would try it. Yeah, for sure, I'll try it. But the thing is, I like to... try clothing, so that's why it's a tricky. But people are switching over. People are getting more comfortable to buy clothes online.
Gotta think though. I would definitely try it. I'm always fascinated with Victoria's Secret and how a lot of people do magazine ordering. I mean, there's tons of people that I know do Victoria's Secret in Canada, where we don't have the Victoria's Secret stores, and they're not going out of business. So we do. We have Victoria's Secret in Canada.
But the thing,
what is the lingerie place called?
La Vie en Rose.
No, Art. Art will know.
Art will know. Oh, yeah, Art will know the lingerie.
Victoria's Secret, we have that in the malls?
No.
We don't?
No.
What do we got in the malls? What's a lingerie place called?
At least he's not paying.
I don't know. It's been a while.
I'm fascinated by Victoria's
Steve,
Secret,
can we
too.
Talk about Lego?
No, I want to get back to this because, Art, would you wear the, would you get your body modeled and try a shirt on? In
through
the
Victoria's fight? Secret? Probably not.
Okay.
Well, okay, but the thing is, with lingerie, you know your size, and you choose the style, and you just buy from there. But it's a dress or jeans or different styles of jeans. It gets tricky.
Yeah. I wonder if people will trust it for a pair of jeans, because the jeans, it's all about where the pockets are.
Going to say, I don't find lingerie that straightforward. I don't think you can just buy any size. I think different cups fit differently. And anyway, let's not go there with on this. Can we talk
We've
about
got more
Lego?
Time, Steve. Just continue.
At the same time, they have a very good return policy. I'm pretty sure that Victoria's, so you can return it.
Okay. So the body modeling is there for shopping. We're not sure how the business model is going to go. They were showing it with Lululemon type models, but it's the leading edge now. This is something that's going to evolve over the next couple of years. There was other augmented reality pieces. Let's talk about Lego.
Yeah, so Intel has developed. Yes, now we're finally going to talk about Lego instead of all this other stuff. Intel has essentially developed an augmented reality kiosk for retail that has a camera built in and a big screen, and you place a Lego box up in front of it, and the camera reads the information off of the box. And it's not like it's just scanning it, though. Like, it's actually looking at different points on the box and reading it. And I held up a Ninjago. Is that what it's called? Ninjago? Lego box, anyway, to this camera. And what it does is it virtually builds the Lego finished sculpture. Sculpture? Castle? It was a castle. It was a temple with a dragon. So it actually built that in the screen out in front of me, and the dragon actually came to life. So you can imagine how much fun that would be for kids to walk up to a kiosk, hold up their toy box or puzzle or Lego box, and be able to actually see that toy come to life in front of them. That also gives them information like pricing. So it's like a premium price
scan.
But
I don't understand how that is different than just having a video of the finished piece that plays.
I feel like it's a little bit more interactive in the sense that you could have a kiosk that would just play a video automatically from you holding it up, but
yeah,
you're actually in the interactive game with it. It's showing the box in your hand, and the Lego is coming to life above while you're standing in the screen.
So it's not just a video of it.
No, okay. You become part of that experience.
Oh.
So it's really neat to see that. I wish I could show you a video of it now.
Okay. Okay, well, I get that. Okay, so basically augmented reality is this year's 3D.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay.
I think that's fair to say.
It's the technology which is most going to disappoint consumers in a few years.
There you go. That's how it works.
Augmented reality has been talked about a lot. I just think it's going to be more explored this year for sure.
Yeah, it'll take a while to get there. I can see it working for glasses frames. That's the only example that really resonates for me at this point. Let's go on.
Smart.
Oh, Sharp Freestyle. There was what was the story behind that? The Sharp Freestyle.
There is Sharp came out with the world's largest television. So we think about 1080p, 1080 pixels. They've come out with an 8,000 pixel television screen. So we're not going to be able to find this in Canada anytime soon. But the point is it's just the technology is getting to the place where we're definitely getting a better picture quality. Average, I've seen Samsung and LG came up with 4,000 pixel screens. So it's pretty intense in terms of what you can get for picture quality.
Okay.
That was the story.
Does it make
there.
You look at your high def screen at home with a little bit of askance now where you're going, oh, it's not that good anymore?
No. Yes and no. I just feel like it's a little bit over the top, to be honest. It was a pretty I don't think we need, the average consumer does not need a television that
but if I can afford it, I would totally go for it.
Yeah
if you can afford it, for sure.
I would totally.
Sure.
But you know what, also another cool thing from Sharp was the Aqua Freestyle line.
Yeah, that was what I was talking about. Yeah.
And so it's like a portable wireless HDTV. So I put it up on Twitter of, like, would you buy this kind of television? And I had people reply back, well, hey, if it's a Super Bowl and there's, like, a power failure, this would be perfect for backup.
Yeah.
Well, because it's battery-powered, right?
Okay.
It's battery.
So it's a battery-powered TV.
Yeah, so you can – it has, like, a clutch in the back, so you can actually go from, like, the garden to your kitchen to one room to another.
That was the case for the 20-inch, though. They had it all the way up to 65-inch.
Right.
And those ones you did have to plug in. But the cool thing is it comes with a base station that plugs into, like, your Blu-ray player, your television, your cable set. So essentially, if you want to move your television around the home, you don't have to pick up all those pieces, like the the source of your, the content source stays in one location, but your TV can move around with you.
Okay, now I'm wondering how the consumers are going to react to a product like that, which is a traditional TV now being made portable.
It's like a tablet.
I'm just wondering about a tablet, because like walking around your house just feeding, you know, feeding Netflix video wherever you happen to be to your tablet or to your phone.
See, I think that's what we were talking about a couple of years ago, though. We kind of saw hints of this coming down the pipeline, and I think we're just moving one step closer to it now, where there is this idea that your tablet and your TV will be merged.
Yeah.
And just being able to, mind you, it is, although they had really small framed models carrying these around, so it does show you how light they are, but still you got to wonder, especially those with kids in the home, do you really want them to be taking, I want to move the TV into this room, clunk, 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 smash. Just imagine the...
Well, it is available only in Japan, but there's no, we'll see if it'll actually come out in North America.
Yeah, I definitely see the value of having had a Netflix subscription at our house with the kids, with their iPhones. They've all got iPod touches now in our family. Mm-hmm. And with them able to, if I'm watching the hockey game, be able to just put on a movie wherever they want watching. I see the value of mobile TV, portable TV, of being able to watch it in their bedroom or be able to watch it somewhere else, or even just sit down next to me while I'm watching the hockey game and watch a Disney movie. It's kind of cool how that's all fitting together. So I see the value of the portableness. I'm wondering what the device is going to look like that wins. And right now, the device that wins the day for me is the iPod Touch or the iPad or a tablet of that sort that can do more than just watch TV. I wonder if I would drop the money on a portable TV that I move around the house. That's going to be interesting. Should we take a break now, Art? Yeah, Art's giving me a head. Yeah, let's take a break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to talk smart appliances, which I'm really looking forward to that conversation. I've got Lindsay Smith. I've got Layla Pageman in, and I'm Steve Dotto. This is Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dotto Tech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Just a reminder to all of our good listeners, we don't have time, because we're doing so much on CES, we're not going to be doing Mac Tech this week, but a reminder that there was lots of Mac stuff at CES. We'll be probably talking about some of that during this segment, but we should point out that for all of our Mac needs, where do we go? We go
MacStation.
MacStation. And the one thing I want to point out, which we haven't talked enough about, is they've got these great courses that they give on all basic, using the Macintosh operating system, using iOS for your iPad. They've got courses on all of the introductory Mac stuff and the Mac apps. Check them out at MacStation.com. There are locations all over the Lower Mainland serving you better and me better. Let's talk about smart appliances.
Yeah, that was a fun one. I like that theme.
Your eyes lit up. Why do you like the theme so much?
I just think it's really, because I'm such a technology nerd, and I just love the fact that we're starting to finally implement screens and mobile-type applications into the appliances. So the whole concept of smart appliances is the fact that they're talking together, and then as well that we can control our appliances from an application on our smartphone or from our computers or wherever we want to control them from. So when I say that, you're looking at me like, what does
that
mean? Well,
I'm thinking about, you know, just as an outsider looking in on the smart appliance thing. Now, I was thinking, where do I need help? I need help in laundry. I need help cleaning. I don't know if I need much help cooking. I can certainly use help, but, you know, it would be awfully nice to be able to control different house systems from my smartphone.
What
are we talking about?
We're talking about controlling your house systems from your smartphone. So, for example, how many times do you have to go into the laundry room or run upstairs or downstairs in order to find out if your wash cycle has completed? Well, imagine that you get a little text message on your
phone. My house stops shaking because my house is really poorly built, so it's... Once it stops shaking, I know that the spin cycle is done.
Okay, well, for those out there...
That are in well-constructed houses. Or perhaps in apartments and stuff where the laundry is downstairs, you know?
Fair enough. Yeah. If the apartment building will invest in smart appliances, then yes, that would work. That's kind of a cool thing, is just being able to know when it's done and being able to change or switch the cycles and things like that. Where I get really excited about is when I see it within the refrigerators. And the reason for this is you can actually do inventory management.
That's exciting.
Exactly, of your food. Now, the concept of this has been out for a while, but but it's now starting to get to the point where you can actually use it.
Is it barcode scanning?
There is barcode scanning. So imagine one of the refrigerators that we checked out down there. Samsung had one and LG had one. The one I played with most was the LG one. And they actually had it so that you could scan from your smartphone the receipts that you bought. They were demoing Walmart receipts. So a Walmart receipt, and it would then update the inventory in your fridge. So you can manually update the inventory from the screen on the fridge if you want to, or you could do it from just scanning the receipt. And so we know when we're running out of milk. We know when we're running out of broccoli.
Now, is it also registering every time you take it out of the fridge, and or is it just saying you bought this a week ago, you might want to think about buying it again?
It's telling you when it's overdue. I didn't see a demo of being able to actually scan it when it comes out of the fridge, but I'm pretty sure that that is not too far away.
You know what would be really useful for me? Is it telling me it's time to throw out the Baba Ganoush you bought?
That's what it does.
Because that would be so good. Because we always do like this every 2 weeks. We go through the fridge and we say, oh, we should have eaten this.
Yeah.
And having a warning 3 days before something's due to expire, that would be good.
I know, because then it doesn't go to waste.
Think about using the Baba Ganoush.
Absolutely.
It's bad. It's mayonnaise-based, Steve. It has to be eaten.
And maybe it'll get Siri-like quality soon. We'll talk to you and say that, come on, Steve. You know you want me. You liked me the first time.
Yes, the Baba Ganoush is ready to go. That's good. Okay, so that's pretty compelling, the whole idea of inventory management. And it would be great if I was at the supermarket and I could say, do I have any in the fridge?
Exactly.
And if that was
possible. So you could order your groceries online right from the screen, right within your fridge.
I want to do that.
Or you can use it to update your app on your phone so that when you're at the grocery store, you can see what you're missing.
The ordering, that's going to take a change, because I don't know whether you guys enjoy grocery shopping or not, but I actually enjoy the process of grocery shopping. I enjoy looking because it gives me new ideas and it gets me out.
I've done my fair share of both. I've done a lot of online grocery shopping, and I've done a lot of...
I've never online grocery shopped.
Really?
No.
I think the interfaces that exist out there right now are still lacking. I think that there hasn't been enough money invested in them. There's very few that I've... There was a company quite a while ago in the BC area called Easy Grocer. Mm-hmm. They were amazing. Unfortunately, though, they didn't have enough customers in order to stay in business.
I think it's harder, and I would say it's harder in Vancouver, but I remember when I lived in Boston, everyone was grocery shopping, and that's what I did. Like, this is 5 years ago. So, I mean, it's just because there's... People have less cars and major condensed cities.
Yeah, I can see living downtown in the downtown core that we're a good advantage. What we need is augmented reality so I can see myself eating that chicken leg.
Really?
No, I don't think we need it. Layla, tell me about cleaning, because the thing, other than knowing what's in my fridge, the thing I need most help with in the house is cleaning.
I know. I love this because I found like technology gamified cleaning because it got me all riled up because I don't like vacuuming. I don't like mopping. But, you know, it's very much similar like Roomba. We saw a lot of these.
The Roomba was the one that would go around and it would...
Exactly.
It was a terrible vacuum cleaner. It wasn't that good.
Well, this one looked... Well, when we were playing with it, it looked like it worked really well. And it has like a game control. So that's why I say gamified, because it just felt like you're playing like Nintendo, Mario Brothers, but you're trying to find the... Manuel.
And how do you spell that?
M-O-N-E-U-A-L, and it's the Ritas R750, and so it worked as a vacuum cleaner and a mop. Like it's like heaven to me.
Okay.
But they were saying, when I asked them, they wouldn't really confirm the prices, but they said it just depends on who would actually buy them and sell and distribute it in like say Canada. Mm-hmm. But they were saying, the girl was telling me about $300+. I would totally pay $300 for this
really?
Device. Yeah.
What's it called again? The Manuel,
Ritas R750 floor cleaner.
Oh, there it is. Ritas R750. So Manuel is a company that makes a whole bunch of things. Oh.
Yeah, and they also make air purifier, like a remote.
Oh, they
air
won
purifier.
The CES award for innovation.
As they do deserve it.
There's 100 of them that win the CES. Mind you, that's still pretty good out of 3,000 booths to win a reward of the innovation award. But
okay. Okay, so that was a robot vacuum that actually works.
Yeah.
Is it the one that mops as well, you were saying? And so
that's what they said to me at the booth, unless the girl did not know what she was talking about.
You weren't all that impressed with all the booth people, this one, eh?
I asked, there were so many booths, okay? I just kind of outlined, I just spoke about two.
Okay, got it. Okay.
No, but the girl, that being said, the girl at Manuel was very pleasant, but that's what, like, I was just getting all excited because it did so much, and it just seemed like I would actually have fun cleaning. Okay. For the first time in my life, okay, if I bought this device.
The game control. Okay, any other smart appliances? Did anybody take a look at the new glass? Was Corning
the
showing
Gorilla Glass?
The Gorilla Glass is one story.
Are you talking about Toshiba's tablet?
No, I'm talking about the new glass that they're using for fridges, so you can look through it and they can have displays. I think it's mainly for retail, where you can actually have advertising running on the displays of the glass fridges, the glass coolers.
And
you can see through it. It can become opaque or it can become less. Sorry?
I didn't see it, but I read about it afterwards. But Samsung had like a window that you almost feel like you're in a Tom Cruise movie and you're feeling like you're touching
moving around
and the screen just like you can have like a digital blind, you can have widgets on it, and it had this really cool, it was a really cool display.
I wonder if that's on the Microsoft technology on their what do they call it's a tabletop computing.
I can't remember
technology.
What that name is, but you know.
But the one that I was referring to, Samsung calls it Smart Window.
Smart Window, okay.
Everything's smart now.
Everything's getting smarter.
Sony Ericsson has a smart watch, too.
What's the story on the watch front?
The watch, essentially, it looks like a regular watch. It kind of looks like the iPod Nanos, the small little squares. So I would say it's probably like an inch and a half by an inch and a half. It's a digital watch, but what it does is it actually has applications on it, and it speaks through Bluetooth, to your mobile phone. So you can get information on the weather, you can get information
on your notifications on your Twitter, your taxes and stuff like that.
Yeah, all sorts of just cool little things.
So I am scratching my head thinking, why do I need that on a watch if it's already on the phone? Is it just so that your phone can stay in your pocket or in your purse and you can be getting all the notification and you can be more subtle as you check the score?
That's exactly it. It's when you're on a date.
And so you want to check the score, so you're getting Bluetooth hockey scores and theoretically video coming to your wrist.
And I'm you're just not checking. Being as rude anymore.
But it's rude to look at your watch when you're out with somebody, too.
Well, I'm sure you're going to be looking at your watch a lot longer than 5 seconds.
Okay.
But I wouldn't go out and run for this product, but I guess people need to get notified all the time, but I don't see why you wouldn't get the same notification on your phone, so...
Okay. I'm just looking at my notes.
I think it's those discreet. It's good for when you're on a date and you're trying to be subtle and you need to get all the updates from your Twitter.
So smartphones. Again, CES has got a lot of products that we're going to be excited about, a lot of products that people are just going to shake their heads and go, nah, no market for that. But, Lindsay, just your base television is something that you think is going to be real.
Just your base television.
Gesture controls.
Oh, the gesture cam. Mm. Yes, the gesture cam. That's something that's really neat. So we all know the Kinect. I think it's Xbox Kinect,
Xbox
where you
Kinect,
can play your games, just the movement of your body. Well, LG's come out with a product similar where you can control the television screen. So we're thinking of a television screen in the smart TV format with application based. So what you'll do is you put this gesture cam below your television or above it, and then you can wave and use the motion of your hands in order to tap the screen. Like, you're not physically tapping the screen, you're tapping the air, and you're choosing which applications you want to run, whether you want the volume up or down, and so on. They also have 3D games.
So that's very Tom Cruisey from
very
Minority Report. Too, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so let's take a step back and explain, because this isn't wizardry. This technology exists already with the Kinect from Microsoft's Xbox. What happens with this is it's using the same technology that Apple uses in their some of their video applications, where it maps the whole background behind you, and then it basically blanks that out, and then it looks for the differences between the background and the foreground, so it can actually track you moving. So it's great for games where you can do dancing games and you can mimic exactly what's happening on the screen, but now we're talking about using it for control systems.
So we're talking about putting Logitech's universal remotes out of business. No, I'm just kidding. That's a bit extreme. But
given this idea of gesture control, this is what a lot of people think that Apple is moving towards, with the Apple TV, except they're thinking that we're moving towards a voice control of the system.
I think 4 years from now, it's going to be exactly. It's going to be all based on our movements and our voice. I think both of them will be built into every TV, and we will no longer need external devices in order to do it.
Okay, so the gesture control, which manufacturer was showcased?
The one that I saw was from LG.
So from LG. So you're sitting in your chair, and you want to change the volume, and there's a gesture that you use for volume.
The one that I played with wasn't even a particular gesture for volume. It was literally just looking at the screen and tapping on different sections of the screen in order to navigate where you wanted to go. So it wasn't a specific gesture. It was just mapping it to touching specific areas.
So there was
areas.
A control that came up on the screen, much like the guide would come up, I guess, when you're watching. So there had to be some way of enacting and bringing that up. But once that was there, then you could basically control it. That's a compelling concept. I don't know whether I like it, though.
It was pretty accurate. I actually played a 3D. So again, this was on a 3D television. I played a 3D game where you had to wave your hand in karate chops to cut fruit in half.
Fruit Ninja.
It was actually called Fruit. Now that's funny. Layla remembers the name of the game.
Well, no, there's a Fruit Ninja game for your iPad.
It is.
You haven't got it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we were playing Fruit Ninja, and I was flailing around with my ninja hands in the air and chopping fruit.
Okay.
That was fun.
It was fun.
I did enjoy that experience. That's the only 3D I'll accept.
Okay.
Probably the It is.
Okay. Well, that's
the only thing that I'll go out of my way to buy.
Fair enough. So gesture TV, which is based on the game technology. Next up is Samsung's Note.
Yeah, so is it a tablet or is it a phone? That is their whole marketing campaign behind it, and I can see why. It's 5.3 inches in diameter for the screen size, which, if you can imagine, that's pretty large for a phone. It's small for a tablet and very large for a phone. It's touchscreen.
5.3. Yeah, that's
touchscreen smartphone. It feels like you're holding a brick up to your ear, but I do get it if you're someone who's traveling a lot and you're using your phone minimally when you're traveling and you just need it, like you need it a lot for email or for checking certain things. It's kind of neat. One thing that I found was really interesting about it is it comes with an active pen, and that it's essentially like a stylus that has touch pressure points on the end of it. And the harder you press with your pen, the wider the ink is when you're on it. So they actually had artists at CES doing cartoon sketches of people on the right on the show floor, so you could see how you could actually use this for artwork, and that's why it's labeled the Galaxy Note. So we see it being used for creativity, by creative people as well.
Okay, and it's a phone, and it's shipping soon, or is it?
It is available in the U.S. at this point in time. So
okay, so the Samsung Note. We haven't talked about tablets or about the Android stuff. Was a lot of computer manufacturers showcasing? What was the directions that we saw happening there?
Well, Fujitsu came out with a waterproof tablet. So if you are by the beach and you actually drop your tablet, you'll be saved because it can last.
Fujitsu's always been really good at making ruggedized pieces of gear.
And it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. They actually had bowls of water, and we were having a great time dropping the technology in there and just watching it go.
Well, that was the word. That's the word that's in a lot of the tech blogs. Is that next year, a lot of the phone manufacturers are going to be releasing their phones that will survive a drop in the toilet. That's what everybody's saying, and which is great news for me since I've actually dropped a phone in the toilet. Didn't survive.
And someone else, Toshiba, also came out with their high-end Android tablet. So it had an aluminum finish. On one side, there's what other specs? It was.
It was so exciting. You were lost for words.
I'm lost with it. But it's a little bit, I think it's priced at $530, so it's a little bit more than the iPad.
Okay.
So it had 5 megapixel on the front-facing camera was 2 megapixel. The back was 5 megapixels. And then I just wanted to remember the glass that they used. It was like a Corning, a Cornwall glass, something. Oh my gosh, I completely forgot. I apologize.
You can look that up.
I can Google it.
And Lindsay, what about the conversion between tablets and notebooks? And the move towards ultra notebooks.
Yeah, so that's a huge buzzword. This term is ultra notebook. So you've got a very, very lightweight notebook or laptop that you can kind of use as a tablet. What I found interesting, again, this came from the Intel booth, is they're working on versions of these ultra books where you can actually take the screen off and use it as a tablet or attach it back to the keyboard so that you can use it as a full functioning laptop. So we can see there's a huge convergence happening right now. And again, I think it's going to take a few years for us to fully realize and see that. But where we're moving is just this idea of the content being stored in the cloud and then being able to play that to any device and share that content between any device.
Last word, what's the Corning product?
Oh, it's called the Corning Gorilla. So I had it all.
So that's the super tough glass that's not going to break. And we're going to see that in a lot of smartphones in the future that are going to be basically shatterproof.
Hallelujah.
And that, the Toshiba Android tablet, is dubbed as being the lightest and thinnest tablet.
There we go. Leila Pejman, your website is?
www.thepej.com.
THEPEJ.com.
Correct.
And Lindsay Smith at lindsaysmith.com. Thanks, ladies. You can go rest now because I know that you still quite haven't recovered from the context.
So true. It's true.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about the new Motorola Key social phone.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dottotech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Joining me now from her home in beautiful downtown Toronto is Carly Biggert. How are you doing, Carly?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
I'm doing fine. Carly is the National Account Manager with Motorola Mobility, and Motorola has been rolling out a whole bunch of different phones designed for different sorts of people. And I guess you've got a new phone out called the Moto Key Social, which I have in my hot little hand. And it certainly is a departure from the phones that are trying to pack everything into a single phone, but it certainly seems to do quite a bit. Do you want to fill us in on the phone?
Absolutely. It is a touch QWERTY keyboard, which is really targeted at that entry person into the smartphone world. So they're not inundated with, as you say, all the stuff that's been packed into all the devices that are coming out in the market today. So it gives people an opportunity to either use the touch screen or have a keyboard. Not everyone is quite ready to move to the touch screen. It has 5 customizable screens that are organized by grouping like media or connections or social networking. So it makes it really, really simple for someone that's just, you know, starting to move into the smartphone world. So I view it as, you know, it could be a very, very young person, but I really view it as more, the person that would be attracted to it is someone that is older, kind of in the baby boomer years, who love the idea of Facebook. You know, it has a dedicated Facebook key on it. Makes it really simple. You can quickly get your social networking updates from your friends, but also update at the same time.
And for me, the key to this phone really is the QWERTY keyboard, is the touch keyboard, which has little raised buttons, much more like along the line of what the BlackBerry devices are. But it's a keyboard that if I'm sending texts, if I'm sending short emails, I find a lot more comfortable than the soft keyboard that we find prevalent in most of the smartphones today.
Yeah, and it's not as daunting either. And you can, because you're so familiar with that keyboard, and you can always place your hands on it versus, you know, a virtual keyboard, you can't do that because you'll be touching keys. Mm-hmm. It's a much more, I found it a very comfortable device when I've been using it. And it has all the other kind of key features you'd expect it to. You know, it has a camera. It's a thin and kind of a light device. That's what really surprised people about it as well.
Yeah, it's almost tiny. It's so thin. It's like a, you know, I don't know, but it's like a third of a deck of cards as far as its size and width.
Yeah, I think it's about 10 millimeters thin.
Just like me.
Yeah.
now, when we talk about what it is, I think we should also talk a little bit about what it isn't, because I'm not sure that necessarily what it isn't is a negative in this particular case. This phone has some apps built in. It's got apps for Facebook, for email, for address book, for some of those sorts of things, and it does have a web browser, so you can access web content. But it's not really designed for you to load new apps and change the way a smartphone is. When you buy this phone, you get what you. It's basically going to be the same when you're finished with it as when you started with it. You're not going to modify this phone as you go, and that's really the big difference between it and smartphones. Am I correct there?
Yeah, absolutely. And so the way that it works, you know, kind of on day one, you don't, you know, you're not packing it full of, you know, applications that may be hogging a lot of battery life or memory on the device. So it could, you know, the expectations are you don't have to be watching, you know, what your data meter is, your battery meter is. It's much more regulated, I guess, is the way to put it.
So you're not going to load a bunch of games on and that sort of stuff. It's really going to be for Facebook, for email. I think people use it for more for email. I think you've identified it as a Facebook tool, but when I look at it, I think people use this for texting and for email, a little bit of Facebook, but primarily for making phone calls and doing that quick text-based communication. I think it's ideal. It's got built-in Bluetooth, which means that you can use it with a Bluetooth headset, which is great. It also has Wi-Fi, so that if you are at a Starbucks or you're at home, you can use the Wi-Fi network and not be using up any data on your plan. So it's got some nice. It's nicely thought out from that perspective. But I think you've hit the nail on the head. This is a baby boomer or a zoomer tool. They're going to be comfortable with it. It's going to do what they want for people that want to be connected but don't want too much.
Yep. And it is available on prepaid as well. So again, it's that entry level, you know, someone typically on prepaid, a lot of people are used to using voice devices. So it's that next kind of nice next step into introducing yourself to data in a good compact form factor.
Now, the one that you guys have sent me is running on TELUS. Is it on other networks or is this just a TELUS specific phone at this point?
It's just TELUS specific, and it's on prepaid at their major national retailers for $89.99.
Beautiful. Carly Biggert is the National Account Manager with Motorola Mobility Canada. Carly, I thank you very much. I'll let you get back to feeding your child dinner.
Thank you, Steve.
Have a good one.
You too.
So, Art, guess what we've got for a giveaway this week?
You already told me. It's a phone.
We're giving away the phone we just talked about.
The Motorola?
The Motorola, the Key Social, yep. Yep, we're giving one away. Now, I've played with one for the last couple of weeks.
Are we still talking about the phone?
Yeah, we're still talking about the phone.
Okay.
What do you think I'm talking about?
Nothing, go ahead.
Okay, it's easily one of the lightest phones that I've ever used. It's nice and tiny. I think it's going to fit that demographic that we were talking about.
The weak and meager?
No.
Because they're not too heavy.
Okay, so last week, CES in Vegas, and next week, where are you going?
I'm going to Vegas.
What for?
I'm going to clean up after the people who made a mess at CES.
And this is your first trip to Vegas?
No. I've been to Vegas a number of times. My girlfriend's never been.
So you're going on a date to Vegas?
Well, no. Actually, there's a bunch of us going.
A bunch of you?
Yeah, there's six of us going. I've never gone as a big group.
Where am I?
Your invitation's in the mail.
You didn't invite me.
You don't know that for sure.
I do know that for sure.
Maybe it just got lost in the mail.
No. Why would you mail me? Who mails?
When was
the last time you stuck a stamp on something and put it in the mail?
I was hoping you wouldn't get it until we came back from Vegas.
When was the last time?
Never. Months. Years.
I can't remember the last time I mailed something.
I don't even know where to get stamps from anymore.
You get them from the stamp store.
There's no such thing as a stamp store.
Sure there is. There has to be, because otherwise where would people get stamps?
Oh, you get stamps from the cobbler and the milkman.
Yeah. Okay. I get stamps at the coffee shop. They put stamps on to give me more coffee. Okay. That's enough of this. Next week, we have news. The show next week, don't come here at 6 o'clock and expect to hear Dottotech because it's hockey.
Oh.
It's Vancouver Giants hockey. We're being preempted.
You're okay with that because you love the Giants.
I like the Giants. We went to the Giants game last week. We had a great time at the Giants game.
It's affordable.
The whole family went. It was wonderful entertainment. They lost 11-4 and nobody cared.
Because you had a triple
in the audience. No, I didn't have a triple burger. The audience, it's different than being at a Canuck game because they're just there for fun. They were doing the wave when we were losing 9-1. And when the goalie made a save after letting in five consecutive goals right in front of us, nobody in the crowd cheered derisively the way they would for poor Roberto Luongo. At any rate, next week, but we will be on at 9 o'clock, as soon as the game is over, around about 9 o'clock, we'll be having a full hour of Dottotech. So tune in next week. If not, check us out online. Remember to enter to win the phone. And I have to thank all of my guests who were on this week, as well as you, Mr. Art Factor. Thanks so much.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.